Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Take the Black Live, the one and only show on the internet where we talk about nerdy things like outer space, like swords and sorcery, like horses, like dinosaurs and such. And you came in a good day because I'll just get right into it. HBO has just dropped some pretty new posters for the second season of House of the Dragon. A trailer is imminent. Daniel Roman of winterscoming.net.
Sup?
I, Dan Selke of winterscoming.net, ask you, are you excited? What will be your response?
Woo! All right, Richard. No, my response is, this is exciting times. Today, it feels like the deluge of sci-fi fantasy news. There's been so much stuff. I can hardly keep it all straight. I can hardly take a breath. I just need to nerd out about all this, the goings-on, the House of the Dragon, the three-body problem of it all.
Ooh, yeah.
How are you doing, Dan?
I'm doing well. Your enthusiasm is convincing and catching. Thanks for watching, everybody, here today. Hello, Robert, Martha, Nicole, Ben, Jack, we're Marvel fan. Good to see you all. And yeah, the big news of the day is that earlier today, HBO dropped some new posters for the second season of House of the Dragon. They've all but promised a full trailer tomorrow, which I will point out, we heard and reported on, I think on like Friday night. So we are ahead of the curve. It's going to happen at a like TV event in France, I think called like Cinema Series Fest, something like that, where an HBO exec, or rather Warner Bros. Discovery exec, JB Perrette, will talk about HBO. And the word is that the trailer will be shown off there. And they, in their tweet out on X, on Twitter, whatever you're calling it, they posted this cryptic, but also not very cryptic because it's pretty clear what they're saying, a tweet of, tomorrow, all must choose Team Green or Team Black. And then everyone said Team Black because that's the way they set it up. So tomorrow means trailer and today means poster. Daniel, do you want to gaze at these and discuss them?
Yes, of course I do. Yeah, that cryptic post. I mean, there's only so many things it could mean. And yeah, Ben Jack is right. It's Series Mania TV Festival in France, which I'd never heard of. But apparently HBO is going to, the word on the street, which the word on the street seems to have been right about House of the Dragon. So I'm going to give the street word the benefit of the doubt here. But supposedly they're going to be previewing a House of the Dragon trailer, possible footage or a trailer for The Penguin and Dune Prophecy, which is the Dune prequel series they're working on for Max. So we may get trailers for like all of those tomorrow. It could be a wild one. But yeah, I'm psyched for these posters. I think they're gorgeous. I think they have some intriguing Easter eggs that we can discuss. So do you want to look at them? Shall
we? Light them up.
All right.
Let's do it.
Who's first here? Who else? Rhaenyra Targaryen, played by Emma Darcy, the one true heir to the Iron Throne. Sorry, Team Green. I'm just going to put this out there. I didn't really expect the Team Green and Team Black like thing to be a discourse. Like the story's kind of framed like if you read Fire and Blood, like Rhaenyra got her throne stolen. It's not really up for debate. But these are the times we live in. What do you think of this one, Dan?
Well, first, I have to respond to you. I mean, I don't know. I feel like in Fire and Blood, George R. R. Martin, the author, is pretty careful about kind of just talking about these are the things that happened. He doesn't really put his foot down on the scale one way or another. Now, the TV show has given us a lot more sympathetic characters on the black side of things, Rhaenyra and Daemon, than the green side of things. But maybe I kind of like that they're confidently asking, like, Team Green or Team Black. Maybe that means they're going to try to be a little more even-handed in the new season. That would be cool. But yeah, no, I really like the trailer designs for season two. We had earlier posters like back in December that are very, the word I want to say is baroque. The word I want to say is opulent. The word I want to say is rich in color and texture. Just these kind of, they look not just literally set in medieval times, but almost like a medieval artist would render this kind of image, because it's so stark, no pun intended.
Nice.
So again, rich, baroque. I'm gonna repeat myself now. It looks good. And Rhaenyra Targaryen is wearing red and black, which again, I want to point out, they never actually called themselves the Blacks in the first season, which I think was an oversight. I would have fixed it, but I'm not there. It's fine. She looks great.
She
looks fierce. She looks angry. She wears that crown well. And I think, I'm not sure if you put it in there, but there was a really good tweet that showed that this dress she's wearing is very, very similar to a dress that Daenerys Targaryen wore when she arrived in Westeros back in Game of Thrones in season 7, which is cool. A cool thing to connect. And you know what? Daenerys Targaryen, controversial character. We all loved her, but she ended up being a genocidal tyrant trying to go for some of that ambivalence here 100 years prior. You decide,
which feels right. You know, like you said, George R. R. Martin really kind of lays this stuff out as like, this is the history that happened in Fire and Blood. You know, I say that it is less ambiguous about who's in the right, because like the Greens like very clearly decide to steal the throne. There's much less debate about the morality of it in Fire and Blood, I think, the Green Council. But as Valoria says, team tragedy, either way, that is true.
It's a good comment. Solid comment.
Yeah, great catch to you, Priyanshu, in the YouTube chat. Everyone talking about that dress thing in this. I love that detail. Yes, this is very, very similar to the dress Dany was wearing when she landed on Dragonstone and started waging war on Westeros in season 7. She also puts it back on again at the end of season 8, I believe, when the bells happen, when she's taking King's Landing. Like, this is the outfit she's wearing. Or very, very similar, which, like, that leaves me with some questions. Is this, like, a traditional Targaryen, like, war vestment? Was Dany, like, inspired by her ancestor Rhaenyra's costume during the Dance of the Dragons? Like, well, not costume, her clothing or whatever. I want to know more. I don't know that we'll ever get that kind of detail in the show, but the fact that they're putting these attention to detail things like in posters like this makes me just chef's kiss. I'm really excited. You have anything you want to add about Rhaenyra before we gaze at our next poster?
There's a Nicole digs your leather jacket. And I agree.
Thank nice you, one. Nicole. And thank you for the welcome back, Nicole. And I think Richard said it earlier too. Appreciate it.
That is true. You were gone the past week. Yeah, good to have you back in the library.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, what's the next poster look like? Of course, you got to have Daemon. You can't spell internecine family warfare without Daemon Targaryen, I imagine, at some point there. Daemon was the breakout character of the first, and I think it's fair to say him or Rhaenyra,
I would say Aemond too. I would say him, Aemond, and Rhaenyra are the breakout characters of the series.
If you had to choose one.
Oh, well, yeah, Daemon.
Aha, all right.
Daemon, no question. It's almost kind of unfair because he got to be Matt Smith all season doing his chaotic Matt Smith thing, and Rhaenyra had this huge arc where she changes actors halfway and stuff. I think this season will be a big one for Rhaenyra, though.
Of course, and for Aemond. But yeah, he looks good. Matt Smith really came into this role and I think proved to everyone he was not only a good choice, but a choice so good it's hard to picture anyone else in the role at this point, even though I know there was some discourse when he was cast as, is that a good fit? Doctor Who in my Game of Thrones? I don't know about that. He's
in
great.
My Game of Thrones.
He kind of does a great job playing mercurial and unpredictable and unexpectedly violent, weirdly sexual, like problematic in all the right kind of ways that you just love to watch on screen. He looks good. Yeah. Got his sword drawn. Gonna do it. I think somebody said that in the background, Kumar has a background setting where they will be. Rhaenyra is at Dragonstone. I do think that there's a panorama later where all of them are laid out next to each other. And I guess we'll look at it when we get there, because I'm not sure if they're all in the same place for these posters or if they kind of like blend it together for that panorama. But we'll cross that bridge when we get there. He looks good.
Yeah, so I don't think we have the panorama on here to look through, but there is a panorama. Basically, all of these posters fit together. It's very clear. We'll get to this one in a little bit, but the one all the way on the left features the Iron Throne. So very clearly King's Landing. I don't know if this window, you don't see it in the Matt Smith one, but in the Rhaenyra one, there's a window behind her. That looks more like a King's Landing window to me than Dragonstone. But we can, yeah, that looks a little bit more like King's Landing design to me, which, you know, she and the Alicent poster, which we're going to look at in a minute, they're kind of in the middle of this panorama. So maybe there's some design crossover, because you'll see when we get to the very end, the one after Matt Smith, that the window on that one is quite different. And I do think that is probably supposed to be Dragonstone. But Matt Smith, Daemon Targaryen, drawing Dark Sister here. Pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff. Do you have anything you want to add before we look at this next one so I can talk about its windows?
Not much else to say. yeah. Let the slideshow continue.
Okay. So the next one. So this is Corlys Velaryon and his wife Rhaenys Targaryen or Velaryon. I never know which one to call Rhaenys.
I'll be honest.
You know, she's a Velaryon, but she's all, like, everybody knows she's a Targaryen. She's a dragon rider. She should have been the queen. Maybe, debatably, that's a whole debate. But yeah, you can see here, these windows, in my opinion, are pretty clearly Dragonstone style, I think, and notably different. And of course, Corlys and Rhaenys, Driftmark is their ancestral home, but we'll be seeing a lot of them presumably connected to Dragonstone in season two, which is Rhaenyra's base of operations. Her campaign is being waged out of Dragonstone, just like Daenerys's was centuries later, and just like Aegon the Conqueror's was centuries before. That's kind of the Targaryen. If you're going to conquer some shit, Dragonstone is where you want to leave from. These two are kind of like the I don't want to say surprise power couple, but like the power couple of last season. One of the few very healthy relationships in Westeros. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts here, Dan? What can we expect from Corlys and Rhaenys this season?
I mean, we know if you were Fire and Blood, you know exactly what to expect. It's important to have supporting characters like this. It takes a village to make an ensemble show. And in the first season, I thought they did a good job of, yes, they had like the really kind of explosive characters like Daemon and later Aemond. Rhaenyra was kind of, it revolved around. But you need characters like Rhaenys and, oh God, Corlys. A lot of names. It's Game of Thrones. Kind of bringing up the rear and adding context and texture. And they did a great job. I liked Rhaenys's arc where she kind of went from being skeptical that a woman like Rhaenyra could take the throne to kind of coming around at the end and supporting her. I like the flip they did at the end where Corlys was the one really pushing for his kin, his blood, not really his blood, but his kin to get on the Iron Throne, and then decided maybe I'm chasing after shadows. I should just want to retire. And then now she's the one who's pushing back against it and wants it. They had a good understated arc, and I'm happy to see them do more in the second season. And I love the poses. I especially love Rhaenys, Eve Best. Something about like kind of head raised, frowning, looking to the side at something off screen is very intimidating and very regal. I like the disdainful conviction in her eyes, and I'm looking forward to seeing these two tear it up.
Yeah. Can I also, I need to shout out here, Priyanshu, and apologies if I'm saying your name wrong, is dropping some really, really excellent Easter eggs. If you're in the
that is maze.
Pay attention to their comments. So yeah, you can just see the shadow of Maelys, that's Rhaenys nice. Targaryen's dragon, in the window behind them here. They put so many cool little details in these posters, and yeah, it's exciting stuff. It's going to be a big season, I think, especially, well, for both of these characters. Rhaenys, yeah. If you know, you know, she's going to have some stuff go down surrounding her this season. And Corlys will have some shadows, some ghosts of the past kind of loom up in the name of some very loyal, a very loyal boy. But yeah, so that's Team Black. Yes, like you said, they haven't said Team Black. I bet we're going to get that this season. I do agree with you. I kind of wish they had done that very clear, you know, ball where it's obvious why they get the nicknames that Martin laid out. Next, we're going to talk about Team Green.
And they are all wearing, now that I'm talking about it, they are all wearing like black and green, right? They color coordinated the outfits.
Did they? It looks like, except for your favorite Sir Criston Cole, but even he might have a little bit of green on him. We'll see when we get to him.
Allison's outfit is cool. Oh, no. Okay. So it's like, it kind of looks like one part of it is different, but it's not because it's in shadow. Obviously, yeah. She looks upset. She always looks upset. Actress Olivia Cooke has this way of kind of looking furrowed brow, very worried all the time. But yes. Allison, important character. She was the one I kind of had the most trouble connecting with in the first season, but she has a lot to do in the second season, and I'm looking forward to seeing what she does, and I think this looks good. I liked her in the first poster they released back in December, where it was just her crestfallen face surrounded by embers flying through the sky. I loved how dramatic that was.
Yeah.
But I also like this one where she is crestfallen in a different room.
Yeah, and this is, again, one more shout-out here to Priyanshu. Yeah, she's in the small council chamber here. You look at the chairs behind her. Those look like the small council chairs. And I'm going to correct myself here about the windows, because I forgot that they redid the windows in the Red Keep. That was like an actual plot point of season one, when they show up after the time jump and see that they all now have stuff like seven pointed stars in them. They've all been taken. The Targaryen decorations have been taken down. They've been put up decorations of the church. Ugh. So the church. Ugh. I hate it. But yeah, so you can see a seven pointed star window here behind Allison. So I do think whoever said that Rhaenyra was on Dragonstone is probably right. Allison, pretty obviously in King's Landing. And something else I'm going to call attention to here that we'll see even better in the next poster. She's got a green banner behind her. You can just see the beginning of the dragon on that banner. The greens are going to have a different banner this season because it'd be too confusing for us, for them on the battlefield, for everyone involved if they all had the same color banner, even though that classic Targaryen banner is classic. So yeah, green with a golden dragon, we're going to be seeing a lot of. And Allison, it's interesting, that poster you mentioned, Dan, as well as this one, it paints Allison as a very, you know, conflicted or almost tragic figure, even more than Fire and Blood. Like, she really kind of unleashed this schism in this family, even though it's hard to blame her entirely because her father was doing a lot of manipulating too. He's conspicuously absent from these posters.
He is conspicuously absent from these posters.
But yeah, so I'm curious to see where Allison's going to go in season two. She's got some hard times ahead. We'll put it that way.
Everybody does.
Everybody. Yeah.
Roll on.
Yep. Now for our other breakout character, Aemond Targaryen, Aemond One Eye, played by Ewan Mitchell, also drawing his sword again because these all fit together into a panorama, which you can see online. Go look at the WicNet Twitter account. We posted it earlier today. He's kind of opposite Matt Smith, Damon, right, on the collage.
Two swords drawn. Nice.
Two swords drawn. And, you know, Aemon does not have a Valyrian steel sword, I don't believe. So that's just a regular sword. But you can see the dragons behind him much clearer. And like you said, Dan, he is wearing a very cool shade of green. I like having these color stipulations and seeing what the costuming department can do to play within those bounds while still making, you know, a green suit like this still look like edgy in the same way that a black one might. Thoughts here, Dan?
Might be one of the better posters there. Very dramatic pose.
Like,
and
it.
You're right, we can clearly see the golden dragon on green banner thing behind him. I liked one comment from let's see who said it, from Ben Jack, who said maybe they'll suggest the name Blacks because they're all wearing black, mourning Luke,
ooh,
Lucerys, Valerian, and Rhaenyra's son, who died at the end of last season, killed by Aemon. Here, watch out, you're doing that. That'd be interesting. Yeah, I wonder if they'll retroactively justify it some way, or if they'll just be the Blacks. I wouldn't actually mind that if they're just the Blacks and they start wearing black and they have a black banner and it's fine. But we'll see when the episode premieres, which, by the way, we don't know a release date yet, but I'm betting by this time tomorrow we will. I will guarantee you that the trailer will say June blank, probably like June 20 whatever Sunday. So yep. Tomorrow we'll probably know what's going to happen. I love this poster, and I think he could have a big year. I think you're right, he was a breakout character, didn't have quite enough time as he needed to really become a cause célèbre, but in season two, with the whole season ahead of him, it's time for Ewan Mitchell and his one eye and his bad attitude to shine.
Yeah, totally. I know I've said this about a lot of these characters. It will be a big season for them. But for Aemond has some very specific things in terms of where he fits into the tapestry of the Greens and that side of the family and how he feels about his brother being the ruler and things like that, that the book gets into that is very interesting. And we're going to see a lot of that play out this season because, you know, Rook's Rest is happening. If you know about Rook's Rest, you know what I mean when I say it's happening. It will have some repercussions for Aemon's place in the war. And yes, future boy, he was Osferth in the Last Kingdom. Valoria said saw him in Saltburn and expected him to be crazy, but he was the normal one unexpectedly. And yeah, this is easily the most deranged role I've ever seen Ewan Mitchell play, which is kind of fun. He will not be put into boxes. But yeah, this is one of my favorite posters too, of the lot. Shall we look at the last one?
Yeah, paid up the last one. King Aegon Targaryen and the traitor Kristen Cole.
Yeah.
I'll start right up with a comment from a Bushmaster. Just look at the new posters they put on season two. And they still have Aegon in the background behind Alicent. Like, isn't this Aegon versus Rhaenyra for the throne? Am I missing something? It is true that, I mean, again, the book Fire and Blood, it's got characters who kind of come up more prominently, but it is more than the show, a recitation of things that happened or allegedly happened. The show has put more of a spin on things, so now it has kind of carved out more main character arcs, and Aegon has taken a bit of a step back to his mother Alicent, who is a bit of a power behind the throne and has a relationship with Rhaenyra, but he still gets a poster. He's still sitting the Iron Throne. I honestly wasn't sure he'd get a poster at all, but so I'm happy to see that he is on this. He's sitting in the Iron Throne, holding his crown in a nonchalant way, kind of Joffrey-esque, doesn't quite have his leg slung over the seat, but still in a bit of a bad boy brat king sort of way going on here, with Kristen Cole just, I don't know, thinking about how much he hates women in the background. They have a lot of work to do if they want to make me like Kristen Cole, but we'll see if they succeed.
They should not make you like Kristen Cole. Kristen Cole is the worst. He does not get a redemption arc, nor should he, in my opinion. Yeah, so it is interesting, right, that this has been framed so much more as Rhaenyra and Alicent. I think that makes sense for where we are in the story, because, again, like, that is kind of where the conflict is rooted, right, is it comes from these two characters who essentially grew up together, who then had their splits. And the thing I really like about this framing for Aegon is it kind of illustrates how he's a manipulated character a bit. And that is, I feel like, pretty accurate to where we are in the story. Like, Aegon doesn't even want to become king. Like, in either really Fire and Blood or the show, when he's first approached and told, like, hey, like, go be king, we could take the throne, he's like, what? That's Rhaenyra's throne. I don't want that. They made him a little bit more of a mess in the show, but it's kind of the case in both instances. And so, towing spoilers here, again, Rook's Rest is a big event. It's going to impact a lot of characters. Aegon is going to be a character who is extremely impacted by that. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see him come a little more to the forefront after that, as a true, like, this is Aegon versus Rhaenyra. Because at this point, like, even this framing with him and Kristen Cole, like, Aegon sitting the throne, he clearly doesn't take being king very seriously compared to Rhaenyra, who's all regal with her crown on her head. And he's got Kristen, who we know is the worst, kind of standing over his shoulder. So Aegon is really like a manipulated king at this point. And I'm hopeful that we're going to see him be different by the end of the season. Like I think it'd be a failing on the part of the show if Aegon doesn't have a pretty transformational arc in season two.
I agree.
I think it needs that. And I think the material is there for that. But yeah, people saying another good catch here, that there is a dragon behind him in the window again. And yes, indeed there is. I am going to agree with whoever said that looks a little like Vhagar.
I agree too. He's got, it's kind of jowly.
Yeah, the mouth is specifically what I was looking at, which, come on, man, give Sunfire some love in this show. I really hope that they, you know, give Sunfire some more screen time. That's Aegon's dragon. Sunfire features more in the book by this point. They've kind of relegated Sunfire to the background, just like Aegon. We need to see Sunfire this season, but it makes sense that for the promotional poster, they put the dragon people know, which is Vhagar, you know, instead of some nameless, not nameless, but some dragon that we haven't really seen. Thank you, Richard, for going deep on that Zoom. Yeah, like Bushmaster says, Aegon is a mess, but after Rook's Rest, he does become smart. Totally. He changes a lot.
Yeah, so, like, there's room for development. So, and as long as they give it to us, I'm fine with it. But yeah, very cool posters. What do you make of the absences? Do you think it's odd or just fine that people like Helena Targaryen aren't on there? Otto Hightower isn't on there. None of Rhaenyra's kids are on there. Like, Jacaerys Velaryon isn't on there. Stuff like that. We don't get Daemon's kids. We don't get any Laena or Baela. Oh, wait, Rhaena or Baela. So many names. So many names.
Yes.
No Mysyria.
No Mysyria. Thoughts on that? No, that has less to do with anything than just the format of this marketing, in my opinion. They want six posters. They wanted them to be parallel so that they could do the whole, like, choose, everyone must choose, or all must choose, whatever it says. All men must choose. I don't remember what part of Old Valyrian that is, but they want that to be catchphrase for this season. So, yeah, I mean, they had the parallels, Rhaenyra, Alicent, Daemon, Aemond, and then a pairing at the end, which that worked out for basically the two of the people behind, I don't want to say behind, but like at the root of these different sides. So Rhaenyra couldn't be moving forward without the support of Corlys and Rhaenys. And Aegon, or Alicent, however you want to frame it, has Kristen and the armies of King's Landing behind them. So there was a sword in the flags of the Greens on the bottom left, says Priyanshu yet again. Which sword is that? Huh. That's hard to see. I'm like, if I'm getting real close to the screen, it's because I'm squinting at this. It almost looks to me like one of those flags is stuck on the swords of the Iron Throne.
Oh, it is.
That is my take looking at that. So we've got one flag hanging and then one that is just kind of laid down on the swords, and it's got some swords poking up through it.
I thought that might have been like a clip art kind of thing where it, where like the flag clipped through the flag on accident, but that might be purposeful because the one spike is casting a shadow.
I think
I can't tell if this is an HBO, artistic Dan. Mistake. Sorry.
This is HBO. We're not looking at some random Netflix poster here. They put that sword there on purpose. Sorry, Netflix, for the shade.
I honestly don't know if that is just an artistic mistake or a purposeful symbolic gesture about the swords of the Iron Throne piercing through the veil of nonsense.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, nice posters. I like it. We will see a trailer tomorrow, almost definitely.
Yes.
And we'll have more information then.
Yeah, totally. But tomorrow is going to be just another crazy, crazy day in sci-fi fantasy land, because while HBO is trotting out its trailer for House of the Dragon Season 2, the dudes who made Game of Thrones, David Benioff and Dan Weiss, will be releasing their new sci-fi show, Three Body Problem, on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And so this is based on a Chinese science fiction series called Remembrance of Earth's Past by Liu Cixin. Dan, you're familiar with both the first book and you've had a chance to see most of the season. So I want to hear your thoughts. We can talk about this, I believe, in a spoiler-free kind of way. What do people need to know going into this thing? And yes, there's the cover of the book. I've heard it's really good. Tell us about this, because it seems very confusing and you seem to know some things.
Hey, Julie, good to see you. Sorry about the time change. It changed for us too a couple of weeks ago. Hate it. First of all, I'll say, do you think it is at all suspicious that HBO is releasing a trailer for the new season of the Game of Thrones prequel series on the same day that the creators of Game of Thrones, David Benioff and Dan Weiss, are dropping their new big show on Netflix? Is this sabotage or coincidence?
I think it's coincidence, because HBO is releasing this trailer in coordination with an event. So, like, it's not like the French event coordinators were like, David Benioff and Dan Weiss, haha, we will schedule it on the release day of their show. I think it worked out that way. I think, if anything, it makes good marketing synergy. Like, a trailer for House of the Dragon is not going to overshadow the fact that the creators of Game of Thrones have a new series out. If anything, it's going to make people more likely to search Game of Thrones, which will in turn possibly bring them into contact with Three Body Problem. So I don't think it's intentional shade. Come on here. Do you?
I think HBO is trying to destroy them. No, of course not. It's fine. It's coincidence. but it's funny.
It is. It is an irony. I appreciate the irony of it all dropping all at once.
So the Three Body Problem show, David Benioff, Dan Weiss's Game of Thrones creators new show. I've watched 7 of 8 episodes and I'm prepared to call it. The show is quite good. I've liked it quite a bit. It's this sort of sci-fi tale about humanity's first contact with an extraterrestrial civilization that may or may not have our best interests at heart. And I think it takes a minute to get going. I don't want to be that person who says, just give it until episode X and then decide if you want to keep going. But I do think it gets better as it goes. I think it is emotionally powerful in a lot of places. Okay. I think it has some really fun sci-fi concepts, some new concepts we haven't really seen. There is a set piece around the center of the season involving ultra-thin microfibers that I have not seen done in a movie or TV before. That was really fun. It kind of, you know, it wants you to think about your place in the universe. How would mankind react if they find out we're not alone? And I know it's not the first time we've done that kind of thing, but it approaches it with sort of a creeping, slow build that I think is fun to sink into. I've enjoyed my time with it, and I hope people watch it because I think it's well made. I think it has some thought and positive energy behind it. And I just think it's entertaining. It's a good show. Three Body Problem is a good show. Now, whether it'll be a hit is another issue. I am curious to see how folks respond, but it's good. It's entertaining and thought-provoking, and even at times a little bit moving.
Okay, cool. You're making a good case for it. Yeah, I'm Fantasy Fan says the trailer doesn't get me too excited. I'll probably not watch it. And the trailers, it's hard with a story like the Three Body Problem. So just for context, I have not read it, but it is like a staple science fiction series. So like the sci-fi book series is kind of regarded on an almost similar level to something like A Song of Ice and Fire. Like it's a Chinese series, so it only got translated in the US maybe a decade ago, give or take. But it is like extremely influential. So there's definitely a good reason, I think, for people like Benioff and Weiss to try to adapt this story, you know? But at the same time, like sci-fi can sometimes be really dense, especially hard sci-fi, which this is. Something like Dune is really like soft sci-fi or more like space opera. It's not really about science the way, you know, something like Three Body Problem, it sounds like, is, you know, what did you say the set piece was around? Like ultra thin particles or something?
Microfibers, nanofibers. I mean, look, but it's original, but they're not here to stump you with science facts. Like I read the first book where the guy like pauses every few pages to explain, and I'm sure he's dumbing it down too, because there's not like he drums with a lot of math. Scientific concepts about background radiation and particle physics. But I mean, it's a giant seller. It's been read by people who don't know this stuff. I don't know this stuff, and I enjoyed it. And the show simples it up even more. Maybe, I mean, there were times that it was so much simpler. I was a little like, they could have gone a little harder on this. That's but kind it's of not here to confuse you. Oh no, it's fine. Don't worry. And it's still cool. Like the concepts they have are still cool. My main concern is the marketing. Because what did Fantasy Fans say that the trailer didn't look too excited? It is a hard show to market because it's kind of unique. It's this blend of, you know, character drama, thoughtful, hard sci-fi, soft sci-fi, sci-fi epic, and kind of very like long-termist sort of meditation on what we would really have to do if we were thinking about our survival in the long arc of human history. It goes back into the 60s. There's some great scenes in the 60s in the start during the Cultural Revolution in China. It's a hard show to elevator pitch. And the marketing, I do think, has been a little dull. It's just been like kind of people's faces in a line. Or maybe it doesn't really get across what the appeal of the show is. So I hope folks find it, because I have enjoyed the series and I hope it comes back, because I think they're going to have 3 or 4 seasons to adapt the whole thing if they get it. And I think it's worth watching.
Yeah, I hope they get to do the whole thing too, just because if they don't, it's going to be such a long time. If anyone ever takes a swing at making this in an English speaking market again, this series. So I do hope they get the chance to do it all. And I am with you. I'm not normally one to be like, you got to just stick with it till episode blah, blah, blah. But the one thing I will say about this, so you said this to me independently. You said episode 5 was a banger. And that's something that David Benioff said in an interview, was if we can just get people to stick with it through episode 5, they should be,
man.
And that is an ask, but I do want to point out that Benioff and Weiss said something very, very similar, like the same exact type of wording when Thrones was on, about both Ned Stark and the Red Wedding. Those are two moments where I remember reading interviews with those guys where they were like, if we can just make it to, you know, Ned Stark's beheading, the Red Wedding, like we'll be golden. We'll be set for the rest of the run. I'm hopeful for this series. The marketing has been really underwhelming. And to me, it's kind of sorry, Netflix, if don't get mad at me, but like, I feel like it's kind of a Netflix issue. Like they're not really great at marketing shows in the first place. So then to have a really dense, difficult to market show it seems like it has been a tall order. Their main marketing has been from the guys who made Game of Thrones. Like that's the appeal of the show at the moment. And I hope that the show has a lot more to stand on than just that Benioff and Weiss were involved in it. So
it does. But, although you can see sort of, again, their thing is they go for challenging stuff. Like this is not an easy show. Game of Thrones is not an easy show. And I love that about them, frankly. But yeah, you're right. And I'm not going to throw Netflix under the bus. Not that they'll be fine. Whether it's just in general marketing or this particular, the market's going to kind of whatever, but it's a good show. Check it out tomorrow. It lands tomorrow on Netflix, the whole first season. Boom. Also, Julie went to see Dune and loved it. So awesome. Dune was indeed
wonderful. Julie.
And a Bushmaster wants to know from us, which Kingsguard army you prefer, House of the Dragon or Game of Thrones? You know, I would have to look at it from side by side or think about them harder to get you a good answer for that. Let's see. What does Kristen Cole's armor look like in this one?
I think I can answer this. I think I like the House of the Dragon Kingsguard armor more. And I'll be honest, I did not love the Game of Thrones Kingsguard armor. A lot of it had to do with the helmets, which I really did not like personally. But I like the kind of more layered, almost more formidable look of the older era Kingsguard armor. But I do think the Thrones Kingsguard armor changed throughout the show's run. So I'd really have to go back and look at it. And yes, fantasy fan, we will talk about Wheel of Time. We'll get there.
I like both. I kind of like the Game of Thrones version where it has like these kind of elaborate crown designs on it. Maybe more, I guess they're both peacetime. They both look pretty good. Yeah. You're right. The House of the Dragon one does look more like battle ready.
It does.
But I would wear either one for Halloween. So I'm down with all of it.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, shall we go on to what we're watching so we can talk about other stuff if we wrap up here?
Yes, let's do it. What are we watching, Dan? Do you want to go first? You want me to go first?
I can go first. I'll be quick. I've been watching Three Body Problem, like one episode a night, and writing a review for like a straight week. That's what I've been watching. That's about it. How about you, Dan?
So I have been watching a lot. Shogun on Hulu /FX. I've been watching. It is just still like top tier television, in my opinion. Like Shogun has not had a bad episode yet, and it's halfway through its season. Yeah, Bushmaster, Shogun FX. That show is just, I can understand how it may not be for everyone. Like it's a very subtitle heavy show. It's a period piece. It's kind of a slower moving drama that relies a lot on like nuances and stuff like that. But like, man, I'm loving that show. I think it is so, so good. It's halfway through its first season and still going strong. So Shogun, I watched the season 2 finale of Halo, which drops tomorrow. I don't remember who said it in the chat. I think Fantasy Fan maybe said they were enjoying Halo. I am curious to hear your thoughts on the finale, Fantasy Fan, if you get a chance to watch it. I thought it was pretty good. I think Halo has had a much stronger season 2 than season 1. It's still got some rough spots, and I'm not super familiar with the game lore. Like I played them, but I'm not like getting hung up on the Master Chief taking off his helmet or the exact order of events and stuff like that. So privileged in that way to not be comparing it to the game constantly in my head. But it's been pretty good. I have enjoyed season 2 of Halo quite a bit, scratching that sci-fi action itch. Beyond that, because I, like I said, I've been doing a lot, still playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, which is excellent, which is so, so good. I am an embarrassing amount of hours in, and I'm still not at the end of that game. It's excellent. And the last thing that I will just drop here, I started reading a new-ish Brandon Sanderson book, The Ooh. Sunlit Man. So this is one of his secret project books that he released last year through his like record-breaking Kickstarter. And basically, Tor Books has been releasing them a few months after each of his self-published versions so that they're more broadly available. I picked up, this is the Tor version from my bookstore. And this is really good. It is a Cosmere fans Cosmere book is what I would say about it. So it's a standalone book, and it's set, it seems like, a little bit in the future of the Cosmere, and which is his fictional universe where all of his series like Mistborn and the Stormlight Archive take place. And it uses a lot of jargon, a lot of Cosmere jargon. Yes, oh good. It is definitely not one I would ever recommend to someone who hadn't read series like Mistborn or Stormlight. It's clearly made for the people who've been following along the Cosmere kind of like as mm-hmm. a treat, like this is what the future era of the Cosmere could feel like. And I've been reading these for ages, so I really am enjoying that. But yeah, nice. That's my long spiel, all the things I've been consuming.
Very nice. Yep. I'm looking forward to getting to finishing through Body Problems so I can start watching Shogun and Invincible and stuff again. Julie and Robert both enjoyed Rick and Michonne, Once You Live, which I hear people seem to love that one. The Walking Dead fans are really liking that return. I'm really glad that show is working out. I've heard nothing but good things. Nicole suggested watching Manhunt, which sounds like a really cool miniseries about the hunt for John Wilkes Booth, who famously shot, I don't know, Teddy Roosevelt, I forget. And then Robert Harris watching Invincible. Love Invincible. Can't wait to get back to that. Yeah, there's quite a lot of good TV on TV right now. Hooray.
Hooray. It does feel like we are in, you know, the first couple of months of the year were pretty slow. And now we're in it. Cruising. There's a lot of stuff coming out from the end of February to now. And basically all of the shows that are going to drop in June are all giving release dates. right now. We found out, we'll talk about this in the lightning round, but The Acolyte's coming, House of the Dragon's coming. I'm sure there will be more that we don't even
know. The Boys is coming. You know,
The Boys is coming. The Bear is coming back for season 3, sure. I believe, in June.
Get out of my town.
So good. Bear. It's so good, Dan, that show.
I could try watching it again, yeah. Restream loves it.
Well, if no one has any other shows to add,
draw about,
shall we get into the lightning round?
Let's do it. By the way, also, I just want to thank everybody. We got to 100 comments between the stream, so a round of applause for everybody out there.
Thank you for joining
the conversation, clap.
I said thank you, everyone, for joining the conversation. You're what makes you this show live so fun.
All right, Dan, let's do it. Let's do the Wick News lightning round, where we go through stories we couldn't cover in the main body of the show and give our 20-second opinions.
All right. Let us lightning. Who is first? Did I put these in order? I kind of half put these in order.
Every time we do this.
Every time. Why don't you ask me first?
Okay, I think I will. Daniel, as someone else pointed out in the chat, The Wheel of Time Season 3 is reportedly wrapped on filming, or is at least winding down.
Yeah, we're still waiting on the official announcement, but there are Ayula Smart, who plays Avienda, said she was wrapping season 3 today. Watch Series, which is a really reliable Wheel of Time scoop site, posted saying that season 3 had wrapped principal filming. So expect that announcement anytime. Season 3 is about to wrap. Hopefully in a few months, we'll have a season 4 announcement. We'll see. It's looking good for the Wheel of Time right now. Exciting stuff. Speaking of reportedly news, Aaron Taylor Johnson has reportedly been offered the role of James Bond.
Last I heard, they did walk this back, like it was going around hardcore, and then somebody like High Place said, no, not so much. But whatever. Why not? Aaron Taylor Johnson. He was the fast one in the Avengers movies. Quicksilver. He's going to be Kraven the Hunter in the next Spider-Man villain movie. Sure. Go ahead.
God. Sony just
can't stop winning. Daniel, as someone else mentioned, yes. The first trailer for Star Wars The Acolyte came out, a new Star Wars television show coming to Disney Plus. The first two episodes dropped June 4th. What do you think?
Yeah, I am cautiously interested in The Acolyte. Star Wars has had kind of a middling run for me, like a lifelong Star Wars fan. I've been really lukewarm on a lot of the television shows. This one could be cool. It's set during the High Republic era, so like way before the prequel trilogy, and it's about like the rise of the Sith, the origins of the Sith. It's got a great cast. Lee Jung-jae from Squid Game was in that picture. Trinity from The Matrix, Carrie Ann Moss, a whole bunch of people. Daphne Keane from His Dark Materials. So yeah, should be interesting. All right, Dan, here's one for you to gush about. A new trailer was released. If you haven't seen it, go watch this trailer. It's awesome. For Furiosa, a Mad Max saga. 20-second impression, go.
Yeah, I loved Fury Road a lot. Saw it in theaters twice and watched it again at home video in black and white. Just a really, really cool movie. I love the whole vibe, like this long car chase. It was just so good. So I will watch this. Anya Taylor-Joy, I feel like might be a tad overexposed for my liking, but she's talented. She could play a younger Charlize Theron. I'll watch it. George Miller, I think, is a great director. I'm curious what he'll do next.
Cool. Furiosa. I can't wait for that. That's going to be a blast.
Daniel, what do you think about Warner Brothers Discovery and James Gunn and Peter Safran, who now control the DC Cinematic Universe, making a live-action Teen Titans movie? What's that mean? What does it mean to you?
I will be honest. It means absolutely nothing to me personally. but I do have some friends. We have some colleagues who really enjoyed the Teen Titans animated series. So I am cautiously happy for all of the fans that this is happening. But I do think DC has, they've announced a lot of stuff down the pipeline, and they thus far haven't really released anything under James Gunn and Peter Safran. So I'll be more interested once they have a few hits under their belt. It's kind of where I'm at.
Nice. I feel you. And patience.
Yes. Patience, boo. All right. This is a fun one for you, Dan. So we got our first look today at, I believe this is Michael Keaton, right? In Beetlejuice 2.
Should we be great. Hyped? Yeah, why not? I mean, Beetlejuice is a classic movie. Michael Keaton puts on a scraggly voice. He probably doesn't have to fake anymore because he's like a million. And causes havoc from the beyond, the realm of spirits. I mean, it's a classic. It's like, it's a classic sequel to a classic that was made like, 30 something years ago. I've got my eye on it. I'm not sure if I'll see it, but I'll be curious to see what people say about it. Maybe I'll make a decision then.
Yeah, I'm curious. I'm more curious about that than the new Ghostbusters movie that comes out. Might even be out right now.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not hyped for that one at all. But you know, Daniel, I have a feeling that you might be hyped for a little movie called Alien Romulus. They released a trailer, and it's coming out August 16th for 2024. What are you doing with your hands?
Yes, they did. I'm dancing for joy. The trailer for Alien Romulus came out today. That's from Don't Breathe director Feed Alvarez. It looks so good. So Alien movies, they've been real hit or miss over the years. Like, some are excellent, some are kind of meh. This looks like a return to form. Alien getting on a ship in space. It's set between Alien and Aliens. There's a 57-year gap there. This takes place in the middle of that. I can't wait. August 16th is when that's out. I will be watching it.
You will be there.
That's right. I will not settle down. Really. This is my childhood being reborn in a good-looking sequel instead of a bad one. Don't stop.
Man, I'm with you, Julie. Just...
Okay. This one's for Julie, who enjoyed Dune Part 2. Dune Part 2 continues to crush it like a sandworm at the box office. It is crossing the $500 million threshold, I believe, which is more than Dune Part 1 made at the box office during the pandemic, but still counts. And that means Timothée Chalamet is also setting a movie star record.
I think that Chalamet, I think the record is like he was in two of the highest grossing movies over an 8-month period. The last part of it was like John Travolta in the 70s with, I want to say, Grease, Saturday Night Fever. It was a really good movie. It was a really well-made movie. They took their time to build, do something spectacular and really took the time to make the visuals look great and huge and impactful. Good. Good for it. It deserves it.
It does.
You know what? And on that note, I think we can end it. What a good show. What an exciting show. We're going to have a lot more information for y'all around Winter is Coming in the near future, because tomorrow we're going to trailer for House of the Dragon and learn about a release date and all kinds of new stuff. Won't it be exciting? And Three Body Problem. And we're going to start doing Fandom Madness tomorrow if everything falls together. And I think it will. Man, there is no stopping us from delivering excellence onto everybody. Sometimes I just look at myself in the mirror and just marvel at myself. Thanks for watching, everybody. We're here every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. Sorry about the time change, Julie. I really am. I wish we didn't do that either. Like, they've been trying to pass a law to get rid of those time changes for a long time. Never gone through. Well, Congress, please, if you're watching us, do something about it.
I'm so tired.
All the time. So join us every Wednesday at 2 p.m. CST, or download us in podcast form wherever podcasts are available, be it iTunes, Apple Music, YouTube Music, or elsewhere. And as we go into the latter part of the week, I just want to say to everybody, you know, black, green, can't we all just get along?
Nice. Take care, all.
This podcast is brought to you by FanSided. Join our community of over 300 sites from sports to pop culture and everything in between.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.